Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I'm your host for The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share advice for techies, for earth lovers, and for penny pinchers. As much as I love the sound of my own voice, this broadcast is going to rely heavily on guests who are subject matter experts on everything, ranging from how to get your small business up and running, interviews with some of the brains behind your favorite apps, and even how to remove garbage from outer space. You never know who's going to pop up and join me next in studio, so make sure to subscribe to The Town Hall on iTunes to get our episodes downloaded directly. And if your boss is making you work through lunch or your commute is just too short and you miss something awesome, don't worry, we've got your back. You can check out our blog for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey everyone, and welcome to another environmentally conscious episode of The Town Hall. Today is going to be all about a really unique marriage between apparel and aquatic advocacy. I'm actually pretty pumped about that alliteration. I'm not going to lie. This afternoon, I am joined via Skype by Brian Linton. He's the founder and CEO of United by Blue, a lifestyle brand focused on ocean cleanups and conservation, and another fellow B Corp. So Brian, I am so thrilled to have you here today.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
Let's start off real nice and easy. You know, I'm going to pile it on though. Walk me through your background, everything that led you to the creation of United by Blue. And what do you think sparked your passion for sustainability? Because, you know, I did some research, and with a nickname like the eco-friendly king of Philly, I'm just dying to know the story.
Well, my story, like many people that got into business, starts back when they're a child. And for me, I grew up in Southeast Asia. So well before even knowing where Philadelphia was on a map, I was growing up in, you know, the small island nation of Singapore, which not many people realize, but despite being known for being a tech hub and super wealthy, it also has a fairly large aquatic fish industry. So like, at least growing up, there was a lot of fish breeders and a lot of fish stores selling, you know, tropical fish. And so I was really into the fish world of things. And my childhood bedroom growing up had 30 fish tanks in it. So I was, you know, not the typical teenage bedroom of a guy. It was all fish tanks. And one thing that I learned early on is, you know, to keep fish alive and healthy and breed them. And ultimately I was running sort of a business at the same time, selling these fish that I would breed back to the pet stores. And in order to make that all work, you had to have clean water. You had to keep the fish tanks clean. And so when I was going out and I was traveling all across Southeast Asia growing up and seeing how our natural waters, our oceans and our waterways were so polluted, you know, it really resonated with me. So when I came to the US and I moved to the US and went to college, I wanted to start a brand that was focused on some type of ocean conservation. So I originally started a brand in 2006 when I was 19 years old, the first year that I moved to the States. And in my entrepreneurial infancy, it made sense to donate money to ocean conservation. So, you know, you don't know much when you're 19, and certainly you don't know how to have much of an impact when it comes to some type of progressive business model. So it was giving money away was the answer. And I did that for several years from 2006 to 2010. And I learned a lot about both the good things about doing impact that way, as well as the challenges and the shortcomings. And so ultimately I launched United by Blue in 2010. From the learnings of that previous brand and the business model that I had created, to have United by Blue launch as a business that had a much more tangible impact on ocean and waterway conservation by picking up a pound of trash from oceans and waterways for every product sold.
You know, it's one thing for a product to gain such popularity because there's, you know, a charitable component behind it. But like, all of the stuff from United by Blue is, for lack of a better word, like legit. It's the best of both worlds because, you know, I can get everything. I actually am addicted to, you have a walnut face serum on the website.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm addicted to. And I also bought a harness for my dog, Myra. And, you know, you just feel better knowing that a portion of the proceeds, you know, from my purchase are going to go do some real good in the world. So let's chat about the mission, you know, at its bare bones. The UBB mission is to clean up our oceans, like you said, by removing a pound of trash for every product sold. How many pounds of trash have you removed so far? You know, what was that mission and that goal crazy when you were first starting out? And has it changed or evolved over the years?
Sure. So we're at about 1.1 million pounds of trash. And We have a lot of cleanup scheduled for the balance of the year, which is going to push that near to 1.5 million by the end of this year. Because it's tied to our sales, we're basically always setting the goal for the following year based upon the previous year's sales. So, you know, this year, basically by the end of this year, we'll set next year's goal, and you know, we'll be, each year as we grow, we're increasing obviously how much trash we pick up year over year. So the amount of trash that we'll pick up this year is about 50% of the overall trash that we've picked up in the first 8 years of existence. And next year, it'll be similar to that. So that compounds and grows. The reason why this business model is so much more compelling, in my opinion, than a financial donation model to an external organization is that we're able to internalize the good in the company and share resources and ultimately have a greater impact than if we were outsourcing it and providing support to external organizations that have to do a lot of the same things that we have to do every day, which is turn on the lights, rent a space, employ people, have volunteer outreach through our website and everything like that. So we're able to leverage the platform of a for-profit business that we are, and also leverage our distribution, which is quite extensive now. So we not only have our e-commerce business, but we also have about 1,000 retail stores across the world that carry our products. So that distribution network serves as our cleanup network as well. So we're able to do cleanups essentially wherever we do business. And we do business in all 50 US states. We do them across most of Canada. We have a growing European distribution. So that provides a platform for European cleanups. So that's the difference between, say, if we were having the donation-based model, right, or if we were just having, on the flip side, if we were having a more general approach to the cause of doing good or doing environmental good versus having a very pinpoint focused goal of picking up trash, it allows us to really have a much more elevated impact as a result of being focused.
But launching a lifestyle brand, you know, that it's hellbent on picking up trash out of the oceans, it's not an easy feat. The goal itself sounds, you know, massive. You know, what are some of the biggest hurdles that you've come across over the last several years? I mean, this is not child's play trying to clean up our oceans.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is that it does seem rudimentary picking up trash and getting volunteers to go out with you and doing these events. But in the grand scheme of things, people aren't picking up trash out of rivers and oceans without structure and without it being engaging and fun. And I think that what United by Blue has done really well is created this unique approach to our cleanups. And by attaching a brand that has a cool factor to it and something that is more substantial than just the cause itself, it's the full picture of what it means to be United by Blue and what it potentially means to be United by Blue consumer, it makes these events more, frankly, more attractive to come out and do good. So we get hundreds of volunteers out of these cleanups because of the brand and because of the brand power. And I think that that's the important part of recognizing that people want to do good, but they want to have some type of reason beyond just picking up trash to go out and do something good on a weekend or after work on a weekday.
Right. You mentioned brand power. So in addition to being super sustainable and, like, you know, like you've been explaining, having a super unique business model, you know, you guys are also very stylish, very different. You know, walk me through some of the product and design element processes. Like, how do you go about that creative process as well as, you know, the sustainable sourcing of materials? How do the two of those go together?
Sure. I mean, one of the things that we learned early on in 2010, 2011 was people want to support a brand that's doing good, especially doing good that's aligned with what they believe in. But the good alone doesn't sell the product. And it's super important for the product to be the forefront of the focus of an organization like United by Blue. And it wasn't until we really recognized the fact that our product had to be just as good, if not better, than our competitors that weren't doing good for us to really be a scalable long-term business. And so what we offer in our products are products that, like I said, are just as good, if not better, than what you would get from a competitor, but also more sustainable and more responsibly made. So we really aspire to be the leading outdoor lifestyle brand for the millennial generation, the generational brand for this consumer base, which really cares deeply about these causes, but they also care deeply about wearing quality and having something that's going to last and not buying a ton of stuff. It's said that this generation is actually buying less, but they're buying more focused, more purposeful things, and they're spending it more on experiences, and they're going into, you know, they're spending it more on travel and things like that. So our product is really, it's outdoor apparel and gear that's focused on being incredibly well-made and durable, but also super responsible, both from the materials that we use. So anything that you see in a United by Blue product is going to be the more responsible alternative to, say, you know, if it's cotton, it's organic. If it's polyester, it's recycled. If it's some type of cellulose-based fiber, it's going to be like Tencel Lyocell. It's not going to be rayon or acrylic or any of that garbage. And then if it's, you know, where it's made is super important too. We manufacture all over the world, but we choose our locations based upon the most responsible manufacturers possible that are using the most responsible materials possible as well.
It's one thing for us to really go deep, like we just did, into the how, you know, how all of this is done, how you guys are accomplishing your goals. But I also really want to make sure that all of the listeners understand the why. You know, why is this so important? Like, off the top of your head, can you share any statistics about ocean pollution that may, you know, shake up the audience a bit? Like, how bad is it out there? And if we're not doing something now, whether it's, you know, doing a cleanup and volunteering or purchasing a product or giving to a nonprofit, what will the future look like for us in terms of the ocean?
Yeah, it is pretty dire. I mean, luckily, there's been we've never seen as much media coverage about the issue of ocean pollution until the last 6 months, where it seems like people have really started to talk about this, which is great for the cause. But I think it's about 5.3 million metric tons of trash, mostly plastics, enter the ocean every year. I think that equates to about 16 billion pounds of trash or so. And so because a lot of that's plastic, it doesn't go away. So it's been compounding in the ocean. And soon there will be more plastic bits in the ocean than there are fish. It's really a dire issue. A lot of people know about the Great Pacific Ocean or the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which probably 5-10 years ago when we were first starting, people actually thought it was an island. But really, it's a swirling vortex of trash. It's all these smaller bits of microplastic that break down due to the photodegradation of, you know, the UV radiation of the sun, which causes it to be a lot more difficult to pick up. So we're addressing the plastics before they get into that state, because we believe that, you know, we gotta really stop it at the source. And not only do we have to stop it at the source, but we gotta go upstream to the consumer behavior as well. Because when plastics get into the ocean, it gets into our food chain. And the smaller fish and then the bigger fish eat it. And ultimately, it's also getting back to our dinner plates, surprisingly. Many people don't realize it, but every year, if you're a seafood eater, you're actually eating hundreds of bits of tiny bits of plastic annually now.
What?
Yeah, it's shocking. So you are actually, without a doubt, if you eat seafood, you have consumed plastics from the ocean. So it's concerning in that sense, but it's also concerning in the sense that really, like I said, it doesn't disappear. So we have to find a way to really stop it from getting there in the first place. And then the cleanup aspect is important, but until we stop it from getting in there, the 16 billion pounds of trash annually is just going to keep on compounding. So it's bad.
And that is, I mean, this is a perfect segue to talk about, you know, the cleanups. You know, this summer in particular was the Blue Movement road trip. And I personally think that this is genius. And it started with, if you're unfamiliar, it started with a van and some volunteers. So let's recap the trip a bit. I mean, what can you share about kind of the journey, the attendance, impact, any analytics from the events? For those that aren't familiar with what went on this summer, kind of give me a overview of what y'all did around the U.S.
Sure. So because of our distribution network, we often get a lot of questions from our retailers how to get involved. And due to the scale of the business and how we've grown, it's been challenging to actually involve that many people now that we have all of these different things, all these different priorities and cleanups tugging at us in all different directions. So really, in order to hit as many of our retail partners and engage as many of those communities as possible, we sent a two-person and one dog road crew out. So these are United by Blue employees that went out on a two-month trip across the United States and ended up hitting, I believe, about 20 U.S. states. And we did a ton of cleanups that removed about 12,000 pounds of trash. That brings our total coverage of the United States. We've hit about 47 U.S. states now have had a United by Blue cleanup in it. What that did is really at the end of the day, like although 12,000 pounds out of the 1.1 million that we picked up seems small, it was a high visibility road trip that basically brought a lot of awareness to the issue of ocean and waterway pollution, mostly waterway pollution, because as an outdoor brand, most of our account base is all along where there's water, there's usually people. So, and the recreational industry of the outdoors loves rivers. And many people don't realize it, but no matter where you are, even if you live in a beautiful you know, place in Wyoming or North Dakota or all of these different places where we did cleanups, no matter how beautiful it is, if there's people, there's trash. And that's what the Blue Movement Road Trip really highlights, is the fact that, you know, we're going to some cleanups where we're picking up 100 or 200 pounds of trash, which again, doesn't seem like a big deal in the grand scheme of things, because it's not when you're thinking about 16 billion pounds of trash getting into the ocean every year. But it is when you're engaging a community and you're talking about plastic and ocean pollution to people that don't realize that it impacts them in a way just as much as it impacts somebody that's living on the ocean and seeing it firsthand.
Totally. And I was doing research on the roadmap, and I was actually shocked to find that Lawrence, Kansas was a stop to do a waterway cleanup on the Kansas River. And I actually lived in Lawrence for 5 years when I went to the University of Kansas. And it was really cool to see, you know, people from my favorite college town, like hopping off of a keg stand to like do some good. And I know that this relies heavily on volunteers. How do you recruit for the cleanup state by state? How do people get involved?
There's a lot of different ways to do it. I mean, the one way is we can recruit from our consumer base, which is growing. So when we have a cleanup and it's listed on our website, we get a lot of organic traffic of people that are shopping United by Blue that end up finding out about a cleanup and coming to it. We also have our social and email reach. So we have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that get notified about that through our direct reach. Then we have our retail partners. So oftentimes these cleanups being partners, we engage our distribution to be involved. They can hang up posters in their stores and talk about it with their consumers, because a lot of these stores are local specialty stores. They have really deep direct relationships with the communities, so they can really spread it that way. And then lastly, you know, using other means of online outreach through volunteer recruitment websites also proved to be a good source of volunteerism as well.
I think the Kansas one partnered up with the Sunflower Bike Shop on Mass Street, which is like a retailer of yours. And it's actually, that was where I worked in college. So it's very cool for all of this to come full circle for me.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear.
And before, you know, we wrap up and I go finally purchase this Wild and Free baseball tee that's in my cart, I have my computer pulled up and I'm looking, I mean, before I get back to work, I wanted to talk to you about some really important stuff. And one topic is obviously the controversial and polarizing Philly cheesesteak. So I'm going to ask you 10 rapid fire questions just for us to get to know you a little bit better. And I want you to just fire off your answers as they pop into your head. Already?
Sounds good.
Number one, what was your first concert?
Oh man, I'm not a music person, but you know, I think it was probably, what are they called? Coldplay.
Huh. If you could be any sea creature, what would you be and why?
Seahorse. I find them fascinating, and I have two little babies right now. So I like the idea of being able to put them in my pouch.
Who's the last person that you texted?
My wife.
Where is the best cheesesteak in Philadelphia?
Surprisingly, it's a place called Carver's, and it's newer in the last few years, but I find it far superior to any of the old timers, unfortunately for them.
When you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A teacher.
What is one United by Blue product you can't live without, and why can't you live without it?
My Bison Snap Jacket. In the fall and spring and winter, it's the most versatile piece of outerwear that I own. It's insulated with bison fiber, and it really gives a great range of temperatures that I can wear it in. And it's the most sustainable down alternative out there on the market.
Is that bison fiber hard to source, though? I think I read that somewhere.
It is. We've pioneered a supply chain, though, that basically allows us to collect large volumes of it. It's a byproduct and it's being wasted otherwise. So we're pioneers in the supply chain to harvest it. We probably sheared about 25,000 pounds of bison fiber this last winter.
Wow. Describe your perfect Saturday.
You know, that's changed a lot now that I have two little kids, but because now it's finding a way to keep them occupied and take them to a museum and have fun. If it's not with the kids, it's going to be something related to going out and fly fishing and spending time in the outdoors.
What is one thing on your bucket list?
Bucket list. That's a really tough one. I would say it's going to go back to the ocean. Spend more time scuba diving. I scuba dive growing up, and I would love to see more of the world's coral reefs before they're all gone.
What are you reading right now?
I'm reading a few different books. One is called Finished. It's about getting things done. The other is called The Culture Code. It's about building great cultures at work. And then I'm rereading Good to Great.
And lastly, what does success mean to you?
for me, success specifically at work with United by Blue means that United by Blue is around in 50 years. I think far too many things are short-term focused and aren't built to last. And I think success is in the longevity of what you create.
I couldn't agree more. And so my next logical question is, you know, what's next for United by Blue? What can we expect in terms of product or mission and purpose and all that stuff in 2019?
We're really focused on just making everything that we do better. We're at a point with the company where we feel like we've really branched out into a lot of different things, both in product and distribution, in our team. And everything's about now fine-tuning it and making it better. And that's how we're ultimately going to grow and, you know, be built to last is by making things better.
Brian, thank you so much for hopping on here with me. There's nothing better than feeling the passion from an entrepreneur that not only entertains, you know, we went through a lot, but also educates. And I think everybody heard you today. And if people want to go check out United by Blue, volunteer for a cleanup, where can they find all that good stuff?
It's all on unitedbyblue.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Are you a brick and mortar small business owner and want to win $10,000? We're on the hunt to find the best small business in America. We're looking for a mom and pop shop that balances a presence in their community while using their business as a force for social or environmental good. Entries close on October 19th and the winner will be announced on Small Business Saturday, November 24th. Enter now by telling us why your small business deserves a shot at the cash at RubiconGlobal.com/2018best.